their voice in the paper, as long as it goes by our principles of respect for all people and for the planet, as long as everybody who contributes to this, because there's the far right of the religious that I respect everything they're doing, but sometimes it's just not real compassion in their fervent. I don't want to get down on anybody. I love everybody, really.
Burn in hell for that, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to be doing one on the mind, body, and spirit, which I guess that encompasses quite a lot of stuff, so have at it. I want to have one which I like sports, and maybe it's my one of my weaknesses, but I'd like one on the sports page, because a lot of people like sports, and I want people to be able to read about it, but mostly about local sports, some about national, but also every time the paper comes out, to have an article on the consequences of sports. You know, what happens to football players after 37, you know? What is it? One out of every 260 fights a person dies. I mean, to have the social consequences of sports, I think it'd be a very radical approach to covering sports. I want to have a classified. I want to have a page for the elderly, which is by far the most overlooked minority in our society. It's really shameful how we treat the elderly, and I want to give them a full page. I also want to give a whole. Did I say? Yeah, I just said homelessness. Editorial page where people can write their opinions about what's going on in the community. So that's so if you have any of those lists, please, if you have any articles on any of those, please send them out. Can I read one more time the P.O. box?
Why don't you actually, what you should do, I think, is give a call to your phone number. No, I mean, will it be on?
That would work.
Will you have an answering machine that has that address there when you call into that number or not?
Well, it's a good idea. I'll have that. You can call me at 457. I'm Bill Beebe. This is 457-0431, or Daniel Yargin at 426-1865. That's 426-1865.
And if you miss these numbers, you can always give a call to 423-HUFF, which is the number that I answer to. HUFF is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. It's also 423-4833, the number you can leave news items on if you want them on the next edition of this show, which is on Sunday. And if you want to join this discussion with Bill, talk about what you'd like to see in a newspaper, concerns you may have, support you want to offer, give a call to our on-studio talk line, because our lines are now open. And you can reach us at 423-5361. That's 423-5361. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz. Give us a call and join this discussion.
You'd never guess, but once upon a time, this land of ours
was sick, infirm, and doddering, robbed of all its powers.
People lay in bed all day, only arose to collect their pay.
Life for them was just a bowl of flowers.
They bred like rabbits, coupling day and night. Claimed the child allowance as their right. Fell sick of diseases of all descriptions, just to collect the free prescriptions. Often broke a limb, just out of spite. Eye and dental treatment, they were free. Part of the welfare state conspiracy. Cheap housing and cheap transport, they were tricks to lead us all astray and see life as an endless holiday.
The poor were disaffected with ideas above their station,
like jobs for all and preschool meals, a decent education.
The writing, it was on the wall, then was heard the clarion call,
and Finchley's queen rode over the horizon. I hope to God, she cried, I'm not too late to perform a miracle and set things straight, to fight the good fight and raise the flag for a new society of grub and fashion the modern cost-effective state. She kneed the unions in the crutch with scorn, saying I mean to do what I have sworn. Shatter the night with fractured bowels, gripped and twisted the nation's bowels, and the economic miracle was born. And then the January bumper sale was organized,
and patriotic spills and multinational mustache, nose for a thigh.
Now the country was up for grabs, and so whoever turned up with a pile of dough would get a chunk of Britain as the prize. She stood behind the counter full of zeal, sold telephones, Rolls Royce and British steel. She sold what wasn't hers to sell, like British Airways gas as well, and threw in North Sea all to clinch the deal.
When she talks of future plans, she wags it lyrical,
while some of the rest of us become hysterical. What at the HSS and coal mines are in the privatization pipeline, along with railways, the army, prisons, royal ordnance, the electricity system, education, etc., etc., and even perhaps the air we breathe. And this is the lady's economic miracle.
That's Peggy Seeger and Ewan McCall from their one of their last albums, The Naming of Names. Sharp, brisk, witty satire, both American heart and British intellect together. Great stuff. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And I remind you that if you want to join this dialogue, we talk about all kinds of issues. We're going to be talking about civil rights for poor people. We're going to be talking about the famous or infamous sleeping ban, which we're trying to change on the putting it on the ballot and getting it overturned by a vote of the electorate in November, if we can get the requisite number of signatures. You can give us a call. And also, we have in the studio with us Bill Beebe, who's editor of a paper that... Do you have a name yet for the paper, Bill?
It's the Lighthouse Alternative Press.
Lighthouse Alternative Press. I'm going to have to think of something more punchy, more snappy. But at the moment, I guess I'll accept that as what it is. Have you... Where'd you get the money for this? I mean, isn't this going to be cost a lot of bucks to get this paper out? How much do you estimate bringing out the first issue will be? What does it cost to put out a paper like this?
It'll cost between $1,500 and $3,000 to put out 10,000 to 20,000 copies. And we have a business plan for how to bring out a weekly. And essentially, if we can get 20 people committed to this within 3 weeks, we can put out a paper in 6 weeks. And I think we can do it even without that many people.
We're talking about a weekly paper.
A weekly paper. So this is the battle plan, that in three weeks we'll have an editorial staff, hopefully of 30 people, who are really committed to putting this out. And if we can do that, we can do magical things.
We got already?
Oh, about 10. But
now's the chance to get on the ground floor, folks. If you give Bill a call at his number when he's off air, which is 457-0431, you can learn more about this. And if you want to talk to him on air, you can give us a call now at 423-5361. I'm going to be kind of flipping through some other subjects because I got so much I need to get through. But Bill is here, and he's available to answer your questions, and he's going to be talking some more about, he's got, for example, an introductory meeting coming up on Saturday for folks who want to be a part of this. Give us some times and quick places where people can, you know, where is this meeting going to be, when is it, and so forth.
Well, it's going to be at Daniel's house. And what I'd like to do is just give us a call. Give Daniel a call at 426-1865 or myself at 457-0431. And what we're going to be doing is every week we're going to have one of these. We're going to have a gathering, a networking of the community, and a networking of the people who are working in this so that we can get to know each other and have fun. So it can be an enjoyable and social thing and also network with a lot of different people. And it's going to be this Saturday at from 2 to 4. Or two to six, actually. We're going to be playing music for about 2 hours. And then we're going to have a meeting of the Lighthouse Press from 4 to 5, and then a potluck from 5 to 6. So if you want to get the directions, just give us a call, and we'll talk to you.
Okay, again, the number to call is Daniel Yerian at 426-1865, or the personable Bill Beebe at 457-0431, the man you're actually listening to here in the studio now. Let's turn now briefly to a very interesting interview I had this morning with Richard Edmondson of San Francisco Liberation Radio. Richard is very concerned about a deadline that looms tomorrow at midnight and affects all free radio broadcasters, both in this city and in all cities across the country. The FCC is attempting to pass regulations that will make one, I believe it's 1 watt. Is it 1 watt or one? Let's listen to the interview. The guy has a lot more direct grip on the facts than I do. Richard Edmondson of San Francisco Liberation, who's been broadcasting for 5 years, has essentially an urgent message to all of you concerned about the future of free radio.
A Okay, we're on the air with Richard Edmondson of San Francisco Liberation Radio. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Robert. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm good. You have some breaking news for us, I guess, around the...
National Lawyers Guild Committee on Democratic Communication is putting together a rulemaking proposal. In other words, what they're doing is putting a proposal on the table. Recently, I don't know if your listeners may be aware of it or not, but recently FCC Chairman William Kennard publicly proposed to allow micro radio stations of 1 watt to exist.
Now, how does this change, how would this change existing policy?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to point out that 1 watt is a totally absurd proposal, and I and many others in the micro radio movement are opposed to this.
Now, the San Francisco Liberation Radio is how many watts?
We broadcast at 40 watts.
I think here in Santa Cruz at Free Radio, I think we're somewhere between 30 and 50. I'm not sure. 30.
Yeah, but now we're in a city which has a very mountainous terrain, and our signal is cut off by mountains on two sides and by an ocean on a third side, and the only direction in which our signal travels more than 3 to 5 miles is directly due south. So we were planning on, our group has been raising money to raise our power level up to 75 watts. This pulls the rug right out from under us. Because the proposal that's being put forward by the CDC is to put a 50-watt cap on urban radio stations.
This is CDC, is the National Lawyers Guild?
Yeah, right, mm-hmm. Right. And we're just trying to organize public support for, if we're going to put a proposal on the table, we may as well ask for something high. We may as well shoot for the moon, because the proposal that's being put on the table by the FCC is ridiculously low. They're starting with 1 watt. So my suggestion is we should start by asking for 100 watts.
And when you proposed this to the National Lawyers Guild negotiators, what did they say?
Well, I haven't really talked to them yet. Our group is our group here at San Francisco Liberation Radio is presently, we're in the process of formulating an official response for our station. And I would encourage all the broadcasters and programmers at Free Radio Santa Cruz to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, of course, encourage people to look at the proposals. There's a 14-point proposal that's posted on the internet. I would encourage people to look at those proposals and read them over, and you'll see one of them proposes a 50-watt maximum, maximum on urban radio stations.
Do you have any other concerns about this proposal other than the limit on wattage?
Well, I have a few minor concerns, but that is the main one. That's the main one I'm concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should, again, the FCC and the NAB consortium is going to do everything they can to chip away at whatever proposal we put on the table. So we may as well start by putting up.
Is this a new action? When did the FCC come forward with this mini broadcasting proposal? And
FCC Chairman William Kennard made that statement sometime within the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
This is a recent thing.
Is this in response to the failure of the FCC to get Claudia Wilken and other, I presume, other federal judges to take action to shut down free radio stations across the country?
Well, I think this is in response to the proliferation of micro radio stations all across the country. The last estimate I've heard, there's something like 1,000 micro radio stations on the air right now. So I think the FCC, or its chairman, Mr. Kennard, anyway, is simply dealing with reality.
How many of those would you say are under 1 watt? Do you have any indication of what the general...
My guess it would be very few.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage people strongly not to accept 1 watt.
Of course.
I think that's very important. They're doing everything they can to minimize the power of the micro radio movement, and I think it's important for us to stay united on this issue and not accept the first offer that's put out on the table by the FCC.
Now, has there been any dialogue within the micro broadcasting community? I know you've had at least two, maybe three national conventions.
Yeah, there was just a convention in Las Vegas. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make that convention. My domestic partner and I were both unable to get off work.
Mm-hmm. Did you get a report on how things went? Did this proposal receive any attention at that convention, or did the one watt or the 50 watt limit proposals get any kind of discussion?
I don't know. I'm sure there's probably some discussion on it, but this proposal that's being put out now by the CDC, it has just been posted on the internet just within the last 24 hours, actually. They just finished drafting the proposal.
And you think you gave me the website address, which I'm going to repeat at the end of this discussion.
Okay, yeah. Would you like me to give it for your listeners?
Sure, why don't you do that?
Okay, the web address is you start out with the http://. I guess everybody knows about that. Then you go www.radio4all, and that's the numeral 4.
Mm-hmm.
So it's www.radio4all.org/news.
N-E-W-S, news.
/rm9208.html.
And for anyone who hasn't gotten that address and would like it, give a call to 423-4833-423-HUF when we are off air, that is to say anytime after the show, and I'll be happy to repeat that for folks.
Now, Robert, here's something very important, is they have set a deadline of midnight Friday.
That's midnight tomorrow night.
That's just tomorrow night, and it's a ridiculous, absurdly short deadline, but that's the deadline they have set for people to get their comments.
Now, to whom should they send their comments?
Well, you go to that website, and it will give you instructions for sending your email comments into the CDC, and they will attach comments from the different micro radio stations along with their proposal and forward it all onto the FCC.
Now, the CDC, again, is...
CDC is the Committee on Democratic Communications, and that's part of the National Lawyers Guild.
I see.
They're the lawyers who have been doing an excellent job, I must say, of representing Stephen Dunifer and the micro radio movement in general. However, I think they're proceeding a little conservatively on this issue. I think they should not be asking for 50-watt maximum, but 100-watt maximum.
What does Free Radio Berkeley say about this? I know that's a station you've had a lot of interaction.
Well, this all came out just within the last 24 hours, and I have not had a chance to confer with anybody from any of the other radio stations. I haven't talked to anybody at Free Radio Berkeley. I have spoken to folks here at San Francisco Liberation Radio, and as I say, we are presently in the process of formulating a unified statement that will come from our station and will be passed along to the FCC.
Well, I hope that for those listening to this show, you will get on your internet, contact this website, and give your view as a broadcaster at Free Radio Santa Cruz as to whether that this 50-watt limit is insufficient. I'm not a technical wizard around this, but I think it doesn't take a rocket scientist or a diplomat of high genius to realize you want to begin with a demand that's higher than that which you expect ultimately to get.
Well, another thing too, Robert, is that it was the FCC arbitrarily chose 100 watts as the cutoff point when it did away with low power radio stations some 18 or 20 years ago, whenever it was. I think we should concentrate our efforts on reclaiming that territory that the FCC cut off. That means going from zero up to 100 watts.
Mm-hmm.
And everything up to 100 watts, in my opinion, should be classified as a micro radio station.
Now, is 100 watts a magic number, or are there some areas where you'd want 125, 150 watts?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's the number that the FCC chose 20 years ago when they did away with micro radio. You know, it was legal some 18 or 20 years ago, and then the FCC changed its rules, and then that was the end of low-power radio.
Do you know what the reason was that they changed their rules? Was there a particular case involved? Do you know much about that?
Oh, I guess, you know, you could argue that they were bowing to corporate broadcasters and granting licenses for these megawatt stations.
I mean, are there any stations that actually only are between 100 and 150 watts that we know of?
Well, yes. Well, there's KFU here in San Francisco. They broadcast at, I think, 165 watts or 175 watts, which is pretty, it's adequate. It's a weak signal, but, I mean, it gets around the city of San Francisco. Can't hear it in the East Bay, but you know, I think that 100 watts probably pretty adequate for our needs to cover the city of San Francisco, and that's, you know, we have a crucial opportunity at this point to really sort of go for the gold, and I'm encouraging people in the micro radio movement really get busy and access this website and get their comments.
We're talking to Richard Edmondson of San Francisco Liberation Radio, concerned with a 24-hour away deadline, midnight Friday night, on getting in proposals to, I guess it's to the CDC, give us the name of the groups again.
Well, it's the Committee on Democratic Communications of the National Lawyers Guild. You'll be emailing your proposal to them, and they, in turn, will then forward your proposals to the FCC.
These are
their proposals as well.
So it seems that another kind of debate is opening, but there's such a tiny window here which will allow those of us who are in the free radio movement to seek adequate signals, signal strength for us. And right now, some individual, I guess, have arbitrarily decided 50 watts is a good limit, but those like Richard Edmondson, who are in the been in the business of serving the public for the last, 5 or 6 years on this issue?
You've been on the air 5 years now.
You feel that you want to start at 100 watts to sort of that's a good line to start at, even though it was drawn by the FCC?
Yeah, I mean, I think the FCC decided that anything under 100 watts was low power, and that's what they did away with, and I think we should do everything in our power to reclaim that territory in the name of the people. And you put it a good way when you said it's a window. This is exactly that. This is a window of opportunity for us to really get it together and demonstrate not only to the CDC, but to the FCC as well, that there is a tremendous groundswell of public support for 100 watt micro radio stations.
Now, if people want to contact you, Richard, you're going to be in tonight, I should say Thursday night and Friday morning.
I'll be here.
Maybe you can give your number in case folks want to put through a call, since we do have so little time and people may want to get more specific details than we're giving them here.
Okay, sure. People can reach me at area code 415-750-1714.
That's 415-750-1714, and that's Richard Edmondson of San Francisco Liberation Radio.
Correct.
Anything you want to add, Richard?
Well, I would just say that this is a golden opportunity for us, and I would encourage people to access the website and at least look at the proposals. You know, people in the micro radio movement, you know, have kind of been bitching and complaining about the rules of the FCC without actually formulating a proposal of our own. This is something that's being put forward as a positive proposal, and I would encourage people to look at it and send in their comments.
Well, thank you, Richard.
If you don't mind, Robert, may I give out the website address again?
Please do.
www.radioforall.org/news/RM9208.com. HTML.
And again, if you want that number repeated, please give a call to 423-4833 and leave your phone number, and I will get back to you and give you that website again. Appreciate your letting us know, Richard, and hopefully we'll have some responses down here from Santa Cruz to that before the midnight deadline on Friday night.
Okay, I hope so, and thank you, Robert.
They were covered with oil. Then I looked out on the ocean, and to my dismay, an oil rig was drilling right there in the bay. Then I turned to those poor little ducks, half dead, and these are the words they said: "We're all dead ducks,
quack quack.
We're all dead ducks,
quack quack, quack quack.
'Cause if they put oil rigs off of our coast, $1 million bucks, say we're all gonna be dead ducks. So I picked up a rag to wipe that oil away, but those ducks, they died in my arms that day. So I called up my congressman and said, "Hey man, that oil, it's a something to dread. It's warming the planet with the greenhouse effect, and it spills in the ocean when their tankers." And do our share. We're all dead ducks,
quack quack.
We're all dead ducks,
quack quack, quack quack.
'Cause if they put oil rigs off of our coast, ain't no one escaping the muck. We're all dead ducks,
quack quack.
We're all dead ducks,
quack quack, quack quack.
It don't matter if you got $1 million bucks. They were all gonna be dead ducks. And now they're doing these seismic tests. Sonic booms underwater make the whales go deaf. So I went back to the beach and screamed into the night, say if they wanna play dirty, let's give them a fight. Let's blockade their seismic boats at sea and sue those bums into eternity.
That's Daryl Cherney. Daryl Cherney. Yep, hi. Sorry about that. Daryl Cherney in his 1989 album, They Sure Don't Make Hippies Like They Used To. The song, We're All Dead Ducks. True enough. True enough. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And our studio call-in line, if you want to do a little quacking, is 423-5361. Wow, looks like we actually have a quacker on the line. Amazing. Hang on. Sorry, folks, that dead air, it should have been a telephone line, and for some reason our phone line is a little screwed up. Maybe we can try again. Maybe the caller, that was David Silva calling in with a report from the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, and also David has been checking out WAM, the Women and Men for Medical Marijuana, and he's calling in again. Let's hope we actually have a phone line. Try it one more time. Hang on.
Are we on the air? Is the question.
I believe we are on the air.
Okay, you can hear us, can you?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I don't know if I can hear you.
Oh, can you hear me on the radio? Can you hear me on the radio? Come over here and listen to the radio.
Yeah, I think we can hear you. Okay, good.
Okay, very good.
We have experimental procedures here at Free Radio Santa Cruz.
We have experimental procedures here at Free Radio Santa Cruz.
And I want to thank you for bearing with us. You may not know this, but we have in the studio with us a guest who's actually beginning a newspaper, not trying to begin a newspaper, not thinking of beginning a newspaper, not appealing for folks to begin a newspaper, but actually plans to publish at least 4 issues of a weekly newspaper which will concern itself with local politics, international issues, and a variety of issues he's been discussing. And he's going to hopefully jump into the conversation here at some point.
I just walked in the door.
And you just walked in the door, so you don't know what he's been up to.
Sure.
But for those who have also just walked in the door, the guy's name is Bill Beebe. He has
Bill Beebe. I got a little flyer.
You got a flyer from Bill Beebe. Many of us did at the Earth Day.
Oh, great.
And he works with the Lighthouse Alternative Press. And but before we say hello, Bill. Join the crowd here.
Welcome aboard.
All right. Hope you can hear him there on your radio at least, David.
Yes.
Well, David, you just got back from the Citizens Committee on the Homeless. That, of course, is the group that does all the emergency shelter services in town and is backing the $1 million community house project, which I've been quite critical of, although it does provide space for 20 to 40 homeless people eventually in a kind of a halfway house prison-esque type program, instead of going for a campground or something that would serve dozens or 5 or 10 times as many people that are going for these monitored programs and so forth that are so fashionable, but really serve so few. And I guess they're working now for some kind of merger with the Homeless Community Resource Center, which is the center that provides phones and lockers and meals and services for homeless folks under the leadership of Karen Gillette, who I've alternately criticized and praised, often criticized more than I've praised, because her board holds closed meetings. She seems to be rather hostile to activists.
Not anymore, they won't.
Oh, okay. Well, tell us, what happened at this meeting?
As far as the negotiations, I'm sorry I said that. I'm a union man, and during negotiations, the negotiating teams really need the freedom to, bounce things back and forth and so forth. So it really would be unfair to say anything that's been, because nothing's been decided, but there's sort of a direction that things are going, and it is unfair to the negotiating team to declare something as being done. Nothing is.
Well, let's get done. Let's get down to what happened
but
at the meeting.
I can talk about the community house report.
Well, you were actually at the meeting. This was a public meeting. The Citizens Committee for the Homeless, unlike the Karen Gillette's Homeless Community Resource Center, does hold public meetings. What were they talking about? I understand they were. Last thing we heard, Karen Gillette was going to be sort of coronated and crowned in a private process without any kind of public call to other folks to try out for the position that she was being considered for. Indeed, she wasn't even going to be interviewed. Has that changed? What's going on with that?
I say that is an issue that's still up for negotiation.
Okay. The other thing we heard about Citizens Committee for the Homeless is that even though way back when it...
Can they hear me on the radio? Can they hear me on the radio? I don't think they can.
Everybody can hear you.
Huh.
I can hear you now.
Okay.
You can hear
me,
right? Yeah, we can all hear you. We're listening to the radio, David.
Okay.
The Citizens Committee for the Homeless originally back in 89, it actually formed in 86 or 87, 86 I think it was, under the leadership of Paul Lee and Paige Smith and Paul Fotenhauer, Jane Immler, and others.
Yeah.
It originally favored ending the camping ban, and now it seems to be so timid it won't even favor coming out to repeal the sleeping ban sections of the camping ban.
Well, that's because we have an initiative process which implies a political endorsement, and since they are a quasi-agency of the city,
They were a quasi-agency of the city a decade ago as well, and they were taking money.
Really?
Oh yeah, this is a cover. But what happened at the meeting? Give us the information so we can know.
Well, there was a pretty thorough report from the Community House, and they're ready to roll real soon.
That's what I call the Trailers Not Trolls project.
Yeah, and I was kind of a little bit, taken aback at what it's now turned out to be, because I thought it was the transitional housing meant that those people that are currently homeless and would be assisted with getting jobs and put more into more permanent positions. But this is an even higher level of people that are still homeless but already have jobs. So
you have to have a job to get into this program?
It looks like you have to have a job. You have to have you're going to be paying rent. It's going to be the rent formula is the same as the housing authority, 30%. You have to have a $250 deposit, but they did make it a $50 deposit in payments, you know, $50 at a time. So you don't have to have $250 up front to get in.
Well, if this is true, it's a clear violation of what they promised 2 years ago when it was being discussed in subcommittee. They promised this would be available for anybody who needed it, and that there would not be a means test or a job test.
Well, there seems to be. Yeah, I would say that the report from the Community House Advisory Board, you know, was that the reaction from the homeless community, my acronym's getting me all confused. What meeting was I at?
You were at the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. Which is planning to merge with the Homeless Community Resource Center.
The reaction from the homeless was a great concern that, this was maybe even too high of a level. They needed to, like, guarantee that it would serve, perhaps people that don't as yet have jobs, and also perhaps employment there could suffice for deposits and so forth. So the Community House got a lot of feedback from the Citizens Committee from the homeless, and I think maybe come next meeting they'll slip back down a little bit more to the upper.
I have no idea. I know that neither the Citizens Committee for the Homeless nor the Homeless Community Resource Center have any homeless people on their boards. And I also know that the hostility to homeless activists that apparently is being masterminded by Karen Gillette of the Homeless Community Resource Center.
Well, I did some research recently, and I got pretty much convinced by a homeless person that he felt it was like under duress. He was depends on the services there.
Oh, no, let me.
There was some confusion in that petition.
Wait a minute, David. Let me explain to the listeners what you're talking about, because I don't think they know. There's a petition being circulated among homeless people out there at the Homeless Community Resource Center that critical members on the board who kind of call the Citizens Committee to the Homeless and Karen Gillette to task for not serving homeless people, for closing their meetings, for excluding activists, and for different. They have different criticisms. They're attempting to have those members either kicked off the board or excluded. I don't know. That is to say, these petitions are circulating to exclude, and I guess we're talking about board members Becky Johnson and Laura Tucker, at least two, those are two of the members, who have often spoken up for such things as a homeless campground, have spoken up in favor of employees that have been fired or downgraded by the homeless, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. They've spoken up and asked so-called liberal city council members who happen to be on the board of these organizations to actually get off their butts and support things like repealing the sleeping ban or setting up a campground instead of simply wringing their hands or, shaking their heads and saying, this is not politically possible.
Well, let me say that the concerns about the merger are being given back to, from one board to the other board.
Bored hearing this.
That this is, all stuff that is information that's going to be resolved, and it seems that
this sounds like empty talk. Let's start.
Well, I don't know about empty talk. I'm just telling you they're in the middle of negotiations.
Yeah, right. What are they trying to negotiate?
How to become one body.
Yeah, I know. This is our city manager Dick Wilson's master plan, because he has no confidence in Citizens Committee for the Homeless. None of us do. The organization has been incompetent for years, and he wants there to be some teeth in it, so he's turning to the Homeless Community Resource Center. Unfortunately, the Homeless Community Resource Center, the board is stacked with downtown association merchant types who think Karen Gillette is the smoothest thing since cream cheese, and not that she isn't in many ways a fine person,
but
that
bothered me is that
nonetheless she seems to be something of an autocrat who wants to close her meetings and hasn't got much interest in activists, has even indeed excluded them, and seen them beaten up on her property, you know, without any protest.
I feel pretty secure in that one of the main issues that, you know, that will drop, you know, from Karen's agenda is any kind of closing of meetings. As a matter of fact, I believe that's already resolved.
Well, that's been resolved.
Yeah,
I know. The reason that's resolved is because that was demanded by CCH.
Yeah, and it's also, but the thing
so
is,
what?
It does seem like it's going to be a finite number board, which is a concern.
Actually, let's leave all this technical crap. It sounds like we were into the realms of boredom par excellence. Let's turn to some other subjects.
I would say that I was kind of proud of the director of the CCH and a lot of people that they expressed as many concerns as they did. I think they did a fine job.
Right.
And of course, Becky expressed more, and she was the minority.
Right. Well, let's turn to other meetings you've been to, since you are a man who goes to numerous public meetings.
I try to go to less and less meetings because
I know you do.
I'm
the
issue person on the sleeping ban.
I know you are.
Sleeping ban, folks.
I know you are. And then we're going to give you a chance to talk about that. But first, let's hear what happened at the WAM meeting. WAM, of course, is Women and Men Against for Medical Marijuana. And they are, in fact, the only... Well, I guess there's another tiny, tiny club in Santa Cruz, also a medical marijuana club, if we're to believe the Santa Cruz Chronicle today. But the
WAM is not a club; it's a collective.
Right, a collective. Anyway, it's a place where someone can actually get medical marijuana without running around the beach flats, risking getting busted by an undercover cop or getting beaten over there by somebody else.
Yeah.
So what happened at the last WAM meeting? I understand police have been trying to close down WAM the same way they've been going after other marijuana clubs.
Well, that was a pretty easy conclusion to make from some of the behavior. But it was actually meeting before last when it was brought to our attention the entrapment.
Tell us about that.
Entrapment's going down. I came late into that meeting, so I heard, you know, a lot of stuff secondhand. I don't want to speak out of turn. I called Waiting Can Wait. But it seems what they've done, and, you know, who exactly this group of police are, I don't know. But what they've done is they've taken doctors' prescription pads and changed the phone number to be a phone number of a police agent. But our director of WAM is very, very together, and she, when she calls to verify a prescription, she calls the number that she knows is the doctor's number, not the number on the prescription pad.
You're talking about Valerie Corral.
Valerie, yes. Valerie is great. So she didn't fall for it, but she did notice an overwhelming amount of agent subversion, entrapment techniques, and now also there seems to be a change in supply that's going to be affecting all of us. So we are under, WAM is under siege.
Now you yourself are a medical, you're a medical marijuana user, not because you're a big partying guy, but because you're an HIV positive person who uses marijuana for specific medical purposes, right?
Yes, I've tried everything else. I was using medical marijuana mostly to help me with nausea, but now I am finding it also helps me with pain. Pain medication, well, for one thing, it's narcotics, and it also makes me nauseated. Anti-inflammatories make me very, very hyperactive. Medical marijuana, if you know, used with responsibility, can, for me, make me functional. Perhaps a lot of people don't like me being functional attending all these meetings, but it actually makes me functional. And when I'm having an overwhelming amount of pain, it can give me a good night's sleep where I otherwise would not. So it's very important to me, and I didn't realize when the whole medical marijuana fight started, and I was very supportive of it, that how much important it would be in my life as an actual medicine. To me, it in most of my life, I considered it a sacramental that was mostly being, you know, mostly being abused and sacrilege. I considered it to be used for special rituals and communion of people, more like a Native American. But I've now come to respect it as a medicine.
Let me ask you this, David. Are you going to be available like in about half an hour to call back?
Yes, I am.
The reason I'm asking is we have hopefully an incoming call long distance from San Francisco activist Keith McHenry. And, of course, we only have one line into the studio.
Sure.
So let me ask you to call back in half an hour.
We'll talk about water.
Hopefully we'll talk about the Lighthouse Field giveaway, the seaside companies sell out, maybe a little bit more about Pelton Street and the Beach Flats. The
Beach Flat development and water.
And water and how that bears on all these issues.
Water.
We're talking, of course, to activist
Me the water.
David Silva, you're a Green Party candidate, and you are, in fact,
I'm not a candidate.
well, yeah, it's true. They kicked you out of that one, didn't they?
They beat me out of
that one. They beat you out of that one. That's right. You're now suing the city and suing Sergeant Andy Crane and former Mayor Mike Rotkin for police misconduct, right?
Yeah, I went around accusing the police department of using a certain gay bar at safe zone for drug dealing, and we wanted a new gay bar that would be a safe place for disabled people and calm people and a nice quiet place. And I don't think they took too kindly to that because they really did batter me.
Let's talk more about these reports that you're going to be giving us, and we'll get back to you. I hope you'll get back to us within about half an hour.
About half an hour, you want me to call you?
Please do.
Okie dokie.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, bathrobes peer Robert Norse, so-called because of the silly-looking bathrobe I wear in homeless protests to protest such ridiculous laws as the Santa Cruz City sleeping ban, the ordinance that makes it illegal for homeless people to sleep outside after 11 o'clock at night or to cover up with blankets, an ordinance that David Silva and I and Father Mike Marini and Dennis Perrone, who you're going to hear an interview with shortly, all want to see changed, and we're going to be trying to put that one on the ballot. If you want to help put that on the ballot, we need people to distribute petitions, to pick up signatures, collect signatures from registered city voters, and we're going to be needing them more and more in the days ahead. We have only 1 month left, more or less, before the May 28th deadline, where we need really probably about 6,500 signatures. Technically, we need 3,700. But given the way they're destroying signatures and disqualifying and nullifying them, we need a lot more. Hey, let's listen to a little music. If you have any reactions to anything David Silva has said, if you have anything you want to add to our agenda, if you want to ask a question of newspaper publisher Bill Beebe, he's still in the studio patiently listening while I jabber on with all my guests. And I think we actually have an incoming guest soon to be here. It looks like I hear word that Citizens Committee for the Homeless board member, video journalist Becky Johnson is actually, why kid around? She's in the studio as we speak, and she's